Today, we are continuing in a series called Renew Your Mind. And last week, we talked about the need for renewing our mind. And we talked about the fact that, you know, right there at the Garden of Eden, when we partook of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that our minds took a wrong turn, right? That a darkness came over our minds. And that has been seen from all the way there, all the way up until the present. That darkened minds, futile thinking, is really, in a lot of ways, just the marker of human life on this planet. But we're blessed that we see all the way through Romans, especially all the way through Romans 1 through 11, that God has worked on the behalf of human beings to redeem us, to save us, to give us a brand new heart so that we could live with Him for eternity. But one thing that happens is that our minds slip back into our old way of thinking. We, before Christ, were trained in a lot of ways to react to situations, to think a certain way, to doubt a certain way. And so God is wanting to do a sanctifying work, not just in your body, but also in your mind. You guys have probably seen or at least heard a story about a dog who has been rescued from a shelter, right? Anybody here ever rescued a dog from a shelter? All right, we got a couple of awesome people here this morning. All the rest of you? No, I'm just kidding. You know that the effects of a dog living in a shelter can sometimes be tough because they've had a tough past. You know, we were fortunate to have a dog that, not for the dog, but for us, got left at our next door neighbor's house. Her name is Lucy. And when we first rescued her and brought her over, she had a little bit of a problem because she reacted in a certain way if anybody messed around with her food bowl. So some of you guys are the exact same way, am I right? Someone messes with your food bowl, you get bent out of shape. And so at this time, my daughter Olive was pretty young, and so she didn't know any better. And she would go over and mess around with the dog while she was trying to eat, or she would play around with the food bowl. And one day, that dog just snapped and bit her on the hand. And we had to have a come-to-Jesus moment right there in the house. We had a little prayer meeting, laid hands on the dog, and just had a moment where we had to retrain her mind to go, you know what? No one's trying to take your food. You can calm down. You're going to be okay. And so we just had to go through a retraining process so that she would know that it was okay if someone messed around with her food bowl, and now she's completely fine. But that's a silly example to say that in the same way, many times, if you're honest with yourself, you have built-in reactions that you respond in life to in certain ways to certain situations or to certain things that people might say to you or maybe don't say to you. And you react automatically like you've been trained in that way, which you have. And sometimes you don't even know why you respond in those ways. Sometimes those ways are sinful in the way that you believe about God and His Word, or what you don't believe in what you see in the pages of Scripture, what you turn a blind eye into and say, well, I believe these things, but I don't really buy into that component. That doesn't give me the warm fuzzies. Well, that needs to be renewed and changed in your mind. But it also might just be an automatic response to temptation in your life, to a thing that you have in your life that you always fall for every single time. And so what we don't want to do is just have an automatic train response to sin where you give in, boom, without even thinking about it. Anybody ever have that problem? Yeah, I see them hands. Yeah, we've all had that problem where you've got that besetting sin in your life that seems to have a hold on you, and there's a response in your mind that's just automatic. And sometimes you just have taken it for granted to say, well, that's just how I am. That's the way I've always been. That's always just been a weak spot for me. That's just my personality. So just deal with it. Well, the Apostle Paul doesn't say just deal with it, right? He says to put those things to rest by renewing your mind so that you can become more and more like God. The good news for you is this morning is that it is possible. The hard news is this, is that it's a lifelong process of renewal, because no matter how long you've been walking with Jesus and no matter how much your mind has been renewed, there will always be more road to go down, more road to travel. And so we started off last week with a 30-day challenge to say that a renew your mind challenge. And we said, hey, for 5 minutes in the morning when you wake up, pray and ask the Holy Spirit to search you. Search me, O God. Everybody say, search me, O God. Anybody try that this week? Did you wake up and say, search me, O God? You know what? If you did that, God would do that. And so if you wake up and say, search me, O God, and renew my mind, Holy Spirit, and show me what is going on inside of me. And then another part of that 30-day challenge was just not just 5 minutes of prayer, but 2 minutes or two sentences, just to write down what the Holy Spirit was saying to you so that you couldn't forget or put it off or pretend like he never ministered that to you. And then we said one verse, memorize one verse that has to do with the renewing of your mind. And last week was Romans chapter 8, verse 5. And so if you do that, you'll begin to do a lifelong, you'll be starting a lifelong process of renewing your mind. So if you're taking notes today, the title of the message is this: off with the old and on with the new. And so everybody is familiar with Romans chapter 12, verse 2. That's a pretty familiar verse that says not to be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but instead to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, there's another verse that's not as familiar, and it's in Ephesians chapter 4. So if you'll go ahead and turn there in your copy of the scriptures to Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to continue to look at this idea of renewing our mind so that we can be sanctified and be more like Jesus. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, as we're turning in our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4, God, I just pray that you would renew our minds. Lord, that you would remove any stubbornness that is a part of our lives, that's a part of our makeup, that pushes against any change or any truth that might want to come in and change us. And Lord, I pray that we would be vulnerable today instead of being stubborn. And Lord, I pray that with the power of your word, with your Holy Spirit, that you would come inside and that you would change us. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. We know that God is in the changing business. And so in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul is writing and he's talking to his church family, and he is encouraging them not to be like they used to be. And so we're going to start in verse 17, and he says this: now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do. And how do they do? Well, they do it like this: in the futility of their minds. Underline that word minds right there, okay? They are walking around in the futility. That word futility means emptiness, right? They're just walking around in the futility or the emptiness of their minds. That's how they're doing it. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God. Why? Because of the ignorance. You can underline that word ignorance right there. They are alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of their heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. And so when we talk about taking off the old and putting on the new, Paul points out the old first thing, right? And so this is the remove part. This is the part where you are changing and you are taking off what you used to be. You know, we're celebrating moms today and we're celebrating children today. And I don't know about you, but when I became a parent, things began to change, right? When I became a parent, I had to take off some of the ways that I used to think and some of the things that I used to be. And some of those were okay things. They weren't necessarily bad things. But once you step into parenthood and embrace it and take it on as a challenge and a responsibility, That means that you have to lay down some of your former ways of life, some of your hobbies that you used to do, and you have to be willing to embrace what you now have. You know, people who really struggle with parenting are people who still try to hold on to their past and the way that things used to be back in the day, back in the club, back in college, back in single life, and they're always looking back going, man, I remember the day when I could just go out to eat whenever I wanted, or I could go hang out with my friends wherever I wanted. And sometimes you can actually hold a grudge against a kid. Come on, be honest. Anybody ever had a grudge against your kid? They took your life. Man, we're getting it all out. We're getting it all out today. Yeah. I tell you what, if you go into parenthood that way, you'll never fully embrace the goodness and the joy and the hardship that it is, because you'll always be looking for an easier way. But that can be how the world thinks. In the darkness and the futility of their mind, they're holding on to the things of this world in that line of thinking. And the Apostle Paul is saying, don't walk that way, don't think that way, don't be blinded in that way. In order to move forward and to have new thinking, the first thing you need to do is take off the old thinking. So, for instance, today, if you're here today and you're thinking about marriage or parenting or becoming a parent, then be prepared to take off your old way of thinking and throw it away. Burn it up. That life is completely gone. No going back to those old things. And you've got to be willing to look forward and say, I'm making a commitment to my spouse and to my family, to my kids, and to my grandkids that I don't even have yet, to say, I am not looking back with regret, with wishing things were back that way, the way that they used to be. That old life is done. It doesn't mean that it was bad, but it's just gone. And I am fully embracing what God has for me now. In the same way, the Apostle Paul is writing to this church, and he's telling them this, that in regards to Christianity or right living, the same thing is true. The same is true as we just talked about in that example. That if you want to live for Christ in righteousness and have a mind that is renewed, what does renewed mean? It just means to make new, right? It just means that your mind was new, the human mind was new at creation, and then it got all jacked up and messed up and darkened and had bad thinking, and people were only doing what they thought was right, and it was completely sinful. And so now, as a believer, it needs to be renewed, and it needs to be renewed daily. And so he goes on, how do you remove? Let's read again. Now I say this and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do. Don't do it. Don't walk that way. Forget about it. Cut it out. That life you keep going back to, forget it. That sin that you keep going back to, you must no longer do that. Stop it. You know, there's an old skit where I think it's on Green Acres, where the people come in and they are wanting help for a problem that they have. And they say, hey, here's my big problem. And the counselor sitting behind the guests goes, okay, here's what you need to do. Stop it. They're like, okay, well, I mean, what else? I mean, you got something else for me? You know, what advice? Yeah, stop it. And that's all he says. It's just stop it. And that seems to be what Paul is saying here. He's just like, don't do it. Don't walk that way any longer. Why? Because it's futile, it's worthless, it's darkened, it's alienated from the life of God. And it's because of the hardness of their hearts, and they've become callous and have given themselves up to what kinds of things? Sensuality, greed, every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learn Christ. Can Christians still struggle with greed? Can Christians still struggle with sensuality? With every kind of impurity? Yes, you can struggle with that, especially if you've never finally and fully closed the door in your thinking on those things. Remove it, change it like a dirty diaper, right? You know, sometimes everybody around you knows you got a dirty diaper, right? Sometimes when one of these babies that was just up here a minute ago has a dirty diaper, everybody knows it except for him. And everybody acts like they don't know it because they don't want to be the one to change it. That's just how it works. And they might even talk about, do you smell something? I got to go upstairs. Maybe you'll do it. Just being honest, we need to recognize that you don't want to wear that dirty diaper, right? You want to change it. Now, that might get dirty again eventually. But eventually, you'll grow out of that, hopefully. Porter is going to grow out of dirty diapers, and he'll be able to take care of that business himself. But what I'm saying is this, is that we can't live in that. We got to remove that. It's time to change. And so the first thing we do is we remove. The second thing we do is we renew. How do we do that? Let's keep reading verse 20. But that is not the way you learn Christ, assuming that you have heard about him. Underline that word, learned. That is not the way you learn Christ. Check out all the references to the mind, to learning, to understanding, to ignorance. He keeps going back to this idea of the mind. That is not the way that you learn Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught, underline that word taught. You were taught in him as the truth, underline that word truth, is in Jesus. These are all things concerning your mind. To put off your old self, which we've already said, which belongs to your former manner of diaper changing life and is corrupt for sure through deceitful desires. And to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. It's time to be renewed in the spirit of your minds through the truth that you have learned in Jesus. The problem is we forget. And so we got to keep continuing being renewed through God's word. The basics are really simple, right? Having a renewed mind is not really a super complicated task that you cannot figure out. Sometimes it's just a task that you will not do, that you refuse to go through because you're enjoying your sin too much, or you don't want to go through the pain that it's going to take to get to that renewal because it's going to hurt. It's going to stir up some things in the past. And so you'd rather keep biting people when they mess with your food bowl than to go, God, search me. Why do I do that? Why do I respond in that way? Why do I act that way? Why do I lash out in anger, in frustration? Why do I automatically run away from that situation? And how can you renew my mind to think more like Christ? Because is this the way that Jesus would act? No, that's not the way Jesus would act. I want to act more like Jesus, so fix me. Take me through the fire. Purify me so that I can be more like you. Renewing your mind by the power of the Holy Spirit is not a super complicated task. Wake up. Pray. Search me, O God. Show me. Tell me if there's any grievous way in me. Write down what you hear, what he brings to your mind while you're thinking about your thinking. And then memorize God's word, especially in that area, so that you'll have an automatic response. So you're going to change your automatic response to biting, and that change can go to whatever the Bible says needs to be that response. So instead of lashing out in anger when someone tries to point out that you have a dirty diaper, your automatic response might be more like, you know, I do stink, don't I? Thank you. I need a little bit of help. Because sometimes that person's just trying to help you. God's just using probably somebody in your life or using the word to point out something that you probably already know is true, but you just don't want to deal with. If you want a renewed mind, simply make the commitment to show up every day and get after it, to allow the Lord to do his inspection every morning, and he will do it. Does God keep his promises? Would God ask you to have a renewed mind if he didn't think it was possible? No. God wants you to have a renewed mind because you are his child. Do you want the best for your children? Of course, we want the best for our children. When we see faulty thinking in our children, do we want to correct that thinking and change it so that they see things the right way? Of course we do. Is your thinking perfect? Of course it's not. And so God wants to correct your thinking, your belief, and how you see his word, that you're always learning more about him and growing in your faith, but that faith would spill over into your life and into your mind so that you are becoming sanctified in your heart and in your body and in your mind. And so that's why he says that not only remove the old self, but renew your mind, the spirit of your mind. Let's keep reading. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. Notice that he's writing to Christians and he's acknowledging that they still have these deceitful desires. So he's not saying you guys are terrible, you no longer belong to Christ. Instead, what he's doing is he's encouraging them to grow and to change. And then we come to the last part, which is replace. And to be renewed in the spirit of your minds and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So there's the remove, there's the renew, and there's the replace. You see, you don't just stop doing that old action that you were doing, but you replace it with a new behavior. Otherwise, it will just eventually come back. You replace it with right thinking and you practice it. You know why? You practice that old behavior time and time again until you can blow up and curse somebody out without even thinking about it. You could forget that you're a child of God and run straight into sin without even thinking about it, and then later wake up and go, what in the world have I done? Well, instead, what you want to do is replace that so new behaviors become automatic. Without even thinking about it, you do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. You put on the new self. What is the new self? Created after the likeness of God. Who was created after the likeness of God? That's Jesus. To put on Jesus, to put on true righteousness and holiness. And so what you want to do is remove the old life, the old way of thinking, go through the process of having your mind renewed, and then replace it with true righteousness and holiness. Well, what exactly does that look like, Pastor John? I'm so glad you asked. Let's keep reading God's word and see what he says, because he gives us some examples of how this will work. Check it out. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Here's an example. What's the bad behavior? Falsehood, lying. So apparently there's some people in the church, obviously not this church, who deal with lying, who deal with telling half-truths, who deal with falsehood, who deal with putting on a fake facade to make people think one thing when in reality another thing is true. And he says, put away falsehood, remove it, take it off that old garment and throw it away. Right? But he doesn't just stop there and say, put off falsehood. He could just do that. But instead, he continues and he says this. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. What is the new behavior that we're putting on? The old behavior was falsehood. The new behavior is speaking the truth with your neighbor. What's the mind part? Well, here's what he says. For we are members one of another. He gives you a new way of thinking. Your old way of thinking might be this. I'm looking out for me. And I can lie and tell a half-truth in a heartbeat because it gets me what I want. And you might know somebody in your life that lies without even thinking about it. They don't even got a plan. They don't got to prepare. Man, you give them a split second and they'll lie in a heartbeat. They'll tell a half-truth. That fish will be bigger than it really was. That problem was only half the size that it really was. And they'll try to make themselves look good. And in fact, what they're really doing is making themselves look bad because they're thinking about them. What's the renew your mind part? He says this. Here's one way to deal with it. Think about it, that we are members one of another. I could lie to be selfish, make myself look good. I can practice falsehood so that you think more highly of me than you should. But that's only trying to make me look better. But when I think, Lord, we're members of one body. And when I'm lying, then I'm actually hurting everybody. But when I'm being honest, I'm actually helping everybody else. I'm going to practice that with you right now, okay? I'm going to tell you the truth. I woke up this last week and I said something. Search me, O God. Everybody say it. Search me, O God. And God showed me something in my life. It was honestly a surprise. I didn't see it coming. I said, search me, O God, and I waited. How many of you know sometimes you got to wait for God? You don't say, search me, O God, and be like, okay, here you go. Here's the list. Because the Bible also says, wait upon the Lord. And I waited. And I waited. And this word popped up in my mind, the word envy. And I was like, envy? What are you talking about? I ain't got no envy problem. I'm totally fine. By the way, the next day was pride. The next day was pride for sure. And I was like, envy? What are you talking about, envy? But the more I started to think about it, the more God began to reveal to me ways that I had been envious without even thinking about it consciously, but subconsciously, I had been envious of other things and other people's lives, desiring maybe what they had or where they went. And I hadn't mouthed those words to myself. But God was like, yeah, you're struggling with that. And I want to renew your mind in that area. And the very first thing I had to do was bring it to your attention. Otherwise, you can never deal with it. And so then I went through the Bible and I printed out a whole bunch of Bible verses that had to do with envy, right? So I'm just piling on, right? Because I'm like, man, I got this new thing that I'm dealing with. I didn't even know it was a struggle. And now I want to see what God's word says about those things. And the Bible has a lot to say about envy, right? I'm just being honest. How many of you like people to tell you the truth? Not many. You do? All right. Better be careful. But it'll be good for you. This last week, I was working on a project, and my daughter, Olive, came up and she started to fix my hair, which I needed. But she put a bunch of bows in my hair, like 5 or 6 pink bows, and I'm like totally spaced out, right? I'm like, yeah, sure, do my hair. Just can't do my nails right now, right? And later on, I was joking around with her and I was like, hey, I'm the prettiest dad in the world. And she's like, what? Dad, you are not pretty. You're like a tad handsome, but you are not pretty. And I was like, ouch. You know, at my age, I'll take that. A tad's okay. But it's funny because kids will sometimes just tell you the truth, right? They'll just be like, boom, there it is. And you're like, ooh. Then the question is, what are you going to do with that? Are you going to receive that? Or are you going to go into automatic response, make excuses, shift the blame, not take responsibility instead? Oh, yeah, well, you did this. You know, fire back. Well, I only do that because that's the way I've always done it. Well, you don't know what's happened to me in my life. Hey, I know, I get it. Bad stuff's happened. You're built the way you're built. But you can get better with God's help. God wants you to be more like Jesus. And so, that's just me putting away falsehood, right? Confessing to you, removing or repenting and saying, hey, I'm guilty. Of a thing I didn't even realize, which is envy, and God has started to deal with me on that to purge me of that. And I'm using His word and His scripture to renew my mind, and I'm starting to think more rightly about how I should see things in this life. So pray for me in that area. For you yourself, put off falsehood, put off the facade, put off the lying, and instead embrace truth. Why? Because we are members of one of another. And if you're a stubborn person, if you're just a mule that sits down in the middle of the road and says, forget you, this is the way I am, deal with it, then you're hurting not only yourself, but you're actually hurting the entire church, your family, your friends, and you can do better. You can be better with God's help. Let's keep going because he's got some more examples that I'll give you real quick. What's the next one? Anybody reading ahead? All right. I knew you were, Cora. 26. Be angry and do not sin. And do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. Here's another one. Some of you guys need to renew your mind in this area. It's not a brand new thing. Paul's dealing with it several thousand years ago in Ephesus in this little church. And guess what? You're still dealing with it today. Be angry and don't sin. But there are some folks that have an anger problem and they're sinning. Your anger has taken over your life. Maybe it's a low-grade anger that resides just beneath the surface, and all it takes is a little bit of a push. Someone pushes your button, someone pokes the bear, and then boom, you explode. And your self-righteous anger, you bite the hand that's messing with your food. It's an automatic response, and then later you're like, where in the world did that come from? Well, that's not me. That was just like a one-time thing. No, you got an anger problem. Put away the falsehood that we just talked about, and say, you know what? Some people, this is really a hard one for other people to approach you on because they'll think you're going to get angry about it, right? So this is anger is a tough one because it's like, hey, can I talk to you about your anger problem? No! Get away from me. I don't have an anger problem. You know what? You're right. I don't even know what I was thinking. You totally don't have a stinky diaper. Yeah, you do. What does he say? Do not let the sun go down on your anger. So what are you removing? You're removing ungodly anger, changing that in your mind. What's the new thing that you're putting on? You're putting on the righteous anger, and you're not letting the sun go down on your wrath. You're dealing with it. You're getting help. You're talking it about, talking it out. You're giving the truth. And why should you do that? What's the renewal part? He says this. Give no opportunity to the devil. Why should you deal with your anger? Because when you don't, you're given the opportunity to the devil to sneak into your life, into your marriage, into your relationship with your kids, and into your church, into your work. Anger is like a playground for the devil, and he doesn't want your mind renewed in that area. If you can keep convincing yourself that you don't have an anger problem and that you're actually sinning in that, he wins. But if you recognize, Lord, that's me. Here's all I want you to do as your pastor. I just want you, with God's help, to pick one thing this month that God's going to renew your mind on. Do me a favor. Don't pick 10 things. Don't go, oh, I got a laundry list of stuff God needs to work with me on. I'm going to fix them all at once. That's maybe one of your problems. So just say, Lord, what's the one thing this month that I can memorize on, meditate on, be changed on? It's a lifelong process. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. And guess what? God will change you. Keep reading Ephesians chapter 4. You know why? Because Paul keeps going on, and he lists sin after sin, emotion after emotion that God wants to deal with you on so that your mind can be renewed and so that you can put on righteousness and holiness and be more like Christ. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much that even though our minds are not where they need to be, Lord, you are in the renewal business. God, that you are willing to come and to transform, to change radically from one thing to another so that eventually one day we can look back and not even recognize the person that we used to be, because you have been doing a renewing work in our lives. God, I pray that for this church family, that you would show every single one of us at least one thing this week that we need to be working on for this month, that we would open up those doors to allow you to come in and search us, oh God, and show us what's going on in our minds. See if there's any grievous or sinful way in us. And Lord, help us to take off that old action or way of thinking. And Lord, renew our minds so that we can put on a brand new action or response or way of thinking that's glorifying to you. And Lord, we give you the honor and the glory for that ahead of time. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You know, if you're here today or watching today and you don't yet know Jesus Christ, then your mind can't be renewed by the Holy Spirit just yet. But if you are here today and God has been doing maybe over the last week or month a work on your heart and he's changing you and you've recognized that your thoughts and your actions are what the Bible calls sinful, and that those actions are really against God and his holiness, until you become aware of that, then you won't be ready to receive the forgiveness that God wants to extend to you. You see, God loves you. Yeah, you're a messed up person. You do wrong things, you think wrong things, but God loves you. And he wants to forgive you. He wants to make sure that the sins that you've committed are accounted for, are paid for. And the only way that they can be paid for is through the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life in your place, died on a cross, so that your sins could be forgiven. He took on your sins on him so that you could be clothed in his righteousness. Today, if you'll call out to God, confess with your mouth that you're a sinful person, and believe in your heart that Jesus died in your place and rose again 3 days later so that you could have new life, if you'll put your faith and your trust in Jesus, He'll give you the free gift of salvation. He'll make you brand new. He'll give you a brand new clean heart that you don't have right now. He'll wake you up from the dead. The Bible says that if you don't know God, you're spiritually dead on the inside. But once you become a child of God, you're born into His family, and you're adopted in, and you're given a brand new start, a brand new heart. That is our prayer for every single person in this city and in this courtyard and watching online today, that you would bow your knee to God, that you would pray to Him and call out to Him and say, God, forgive me. I'm a sinner. Save me. And guess what? That's a prayer God wants to answer. Do that today and let us know about it. Let us know about it by sending us an email, filling out that digital connection card, and we would love to connect with you tomorrow and talk to you more about what it means to love Jesus and to follow Him.